Well, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is Acts chapter 13, first four verses. Now there were in Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was also called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, then the story goes on about Paul's first missionary journey. This is another one of those amazing scriptures that are so pivotal to me that just reinforce at least one of the things that God's been really speaking deeply into my heart for CTKers we talked about this Sunday, is that God's normal sequence for sustainable revival, for sustainable acts of power and expansion to conquer the world, is that there must be worship before witness. That he first and foremost has called us, the scripture that we read, to love him with all of our heart and soul, mind and strength, to pursue his presence, to pursue intimacy with him, to develop a life where we learn to linger before him, that we have a heart of adoration for him. And I loved what that one lady said that I quoted Sunday. She said, "The more we marinate, the more we'll accelerate." One of the burdens that I have is that I have this great passion to see us take the gospel into the world and to destroy the works of the devil. But prior to that passion is to make sure we don't get the cart before the horse. Because unfortunately for many Christians, that becomes the chief priority. And it's not the chief priority for which we were created and for which we were born again. When you read this passage, there are three passages. There's more, but there's three dominant passages, as I mentioned a little bit yesterday about this theme, where there's this major shift where the people of God, where the church is moving to this greater place. It has a greater anointing, has a greater release of power, greater impact, greater favor, greater purpose. And every one of them are in the context of prayer. Every one of them are in the context of a person or a people lingering in the presence of the Lord. The first one is in the book of Acts and Pentecost, having reminded them of the promise that's recorded in Luke chapter 24 of the Holy Spirit and the power of God released in their lives to continue, to carry and continue the life, message, and ministry of Jesus, to be able to advance the kingdom carrying a Christ-like life. He then tells them to wait. And for 10 days, they gather together with a one heart passion to experience the promise. And they're in prayer for 10 days, not knowing it was going to be 10 days. They just were in prayer until. And in that context of lingering in the presence of the Lord, waiting before him with expectation, a suddenly happened. And the Holy Spirit came. And the church, the 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, and there just began this massive expansion of the kingdom of God. Massive manifestation of power and healings and destroying the works of the devil, people coming into the kingdom harvest. But it all happened, it flowed out of a context where their first priority was to be before him, in his presence, lingering before him. And out of that, the suddenly occurred. As they waited, a suddenly happened. Yesterday we looked at Cornelius in chapter 10 and this mighty expansion where the gospel is now manifested and free to go to the Gentiles. This Gentile Roman whose prayers were so continual, his time before the Lord, he was such a lingerer, such a marinator in the presence of God that it says that his prayers were like a memorial before the Lord. They were constantly before him. And it says, and because of that, the Lord came to him and gave him a vision which sent for Peter, and Peter came to him, and he and his household were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're the first Gentiles that were. And then Paul took the message to the others in Jerusalem. God has opened the door, the gospel to the Gentiles. A great shifting in the purposes of God. But in chapter 13, the first missionary released to the world, as a result of this little prayer meeting they have, and the Holy Spirit points out Paul and Barnabas, and he sends them out to minister. Result of that ministry is you're saved because of the result of that ministry. There are billions of Christians who've since then because of that ministry. 19 of the 29 books of the New Testament occurred because the Holy Spirit, out of that little prayer time, sent Paul all those other cities. And he wrote all those letters to those people he had ministered to. The whole world was transformed because you had a group of people, just a handful of people, who were ministering to God and fasting. Now, there's the word minister there is a unique word, and we'll talk about that later for CTKers. But the idea is that it was their expression of worship and ministering. And again, it says this, and while they were ministering to the Lord, most Christians know what it means to minister for the Lord. Most Christians have a priority to minister to the lost or to the poor or to the sick. But the business of the church, first and foremost, of a believer, first and foremost, is to minister to him. That's what he said about Mary of Bethany, Mary Magdalene, in Mark chapter 14, when she smashed the alabaster vial, anointed his feet, and Jesus said, she has ministered to me. Her open worship before him, adoration for him, love for him, as she prepared him for burial. And here in this place where a group of men are simply fasting, one of the things that the word minister, this particular word, does mean, it means to minister at your own cost. You're willing to pay whatever price you personally have to pay to minister. And almost every time it's used in ministering to people, this is the one place it talks about, but we've come to worship him. We've come to be before him and to pay whatever price we have to pay, just to minister to him. And in ministering to him, they moved his heart. As a result, the Holy Spirit spoke into that context and said, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas. And it says the Holy Spirit sent them. But all of that happened, that shift, that breakthrough, one of the things we've been crying out for, another breakthrough, a breakthrough into a realm when we see greater manifestations of presence, greater manifestations of power. Are we willing to pay the price on our own price? It's not, again, about earning something. It's about posturing ourselves where we so stir his heart that he shifts things in us so he can do something he's wanted to do that was always his heart, that were always part of his promises, but now he was able to do. It's not a coincidence, brothers and sisters. It's not just a lucky break that every one of these major shifts happened in the context of prayer. And it means more than your 5-minute prayer or your 20-minute prayer or your prayer while you're watching your favorite show or whatever it is. It's calling to a people who will pay a price to linger before him until he does something, until he does that breakthrough thing. That's where we're at. That's where the church in Selma is. That's where this CTK is. That's where I'm at. The privilege, though, of being called to minister to him. We got to keep that straight, or we're going to end up being a people who minister for him, and like I said Sunday, we'll burn out, or we'll become hype and phony. Because we don't want people to know it's not really working, so we'll act like it's working, or we'll call something that's 25%, 100% when it isn't, or 30-fold harvest, 100-fold harvest. I want authentic. He wants authentic for us. And so we got to get it straight. Worship before witness. Authentic, powered, empowered witness always comes from worship. Amen? That's one of the reasons you see such a worship movement in the church today. So many people writing so many songs, but that's part of ministering to him. Amen? That's why you see so many signs and wonders sometimes in the context of worship, what we call worship. Many translations translate that word, and as they were worshiping God and fasting. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.